Welcome back once again here to Trade Talk. I'm Susan Littlefield with the American Ag Network. It's talk with Gail Stratman. He's a regional technical service manager with FMC. And first and foremost, what a year we had. If weed control, disease control, some we had not seen in our neck of the woods in a long time.
Yeah.
And just some really interesting weather for growing.
Yeah, you know, they're all kind of tied together, right? We had a big outbreak of southern rust this last year, but that was really tied to the weather. We were wet all winter in the south, right? They had record rainfalls in the southern part of the U.S. Well, southern rust really likes wet conditions, survives on other hosts down there, and then gets blown north in June and July. We had a lot of winds. If you start looking at the wind records, we had a lot of winds over 20 miles an hour in June and throughout July. Brings all that pathogen north. Then think about the weather conditions that we had in Nebraska and the Midwest throughout the summer. I haven't seen a summer where we've been that humid that long throughout that season and really warm. Well, perfect conditions for southern rust. Most years we get some humid weather, but then we get a break and the disease doesn't take off. This year we didn't get that break, so it really kind of exploded. So we just had the perfect conditions for it this last year that really amplified the disease pressure. So the question is, what does that mean for 2026? Nothing. Because this pest doesn't overwinter in the Midwest, and so it's got to move up again. So we'll see what the conditions are like down south. We'll see if we get everything to line up again. It could happen again, but it's highly unlikely. Maybe next year is a tar spot year. It likes it a little cooler. You know, kind of thing. So maybe that disease is more prevalent this last year. But you saw a lot of other conditions that kind of contributed to problems that growers had throughout the season. We were extremely dry going through planting season. A lot of guys were struggling to get seed depth evenly. And so as you had discussions with guys, they're like, yeah, one of the hardest years I had to get to establish stands. Yeah, we have the benefit of irrigation out there, but it's never as good as Mother Nature's rainfall, especially in those soils. So think about those things. And then then we started raining, but then we started having other issues. Southern rust started coming in. We had areas with armyworm come in. It's another one of those that likes really wet years in the south and comes up north. So a lot of these things change from year to year, but some of the things that don't, you know, we've got to manage our fertility annually basis. Weed control is a must. You know, that's one where we've got to stay on top of that every year because weed seed production can affect us 6-7 years down the road. Some interesting research coming out of universities here recently shows that, you know, the big craze here in the last 5 to 10 years has been moving soybean plantings up early, moving it ahead of corn. Well, we can get these soybeans established earlier. We can get this crop canopy established earlier. We can compete with the weeds earlier. But the research is showing that with earlier soybean planting, we're now selecting for water hemp that emerges 2 weeks earlier than it did in late planted soybeans. So we're moving the window up for water hemp emergence. So it goes back to showing that we're really going to have to rely more and more on our residual herbicides because we have a longer early season window because things aren't growing as fast. And so we've got to manage that. We can't think that, well, we can do this in plant our beans in April and the water hemp isn't going to come up till late May. No, the water hemp's going to move itself up. We're going to select for the early emergers in this because those early emerging weeds can compete with that crop and escape those later applications of herbicides. So continue to stay ahead of it. Use our residual herbicides like Authority Supreme, Authority Edge, which have been shown to have outstanding control. Layer that with the Anthemax over the top, and then we'll continue to look for new innovation products that we're excited to bring in the future.
You know, water hemp is kind of the arch nemesis when it comes to getting a crop in there because you see it out there and it's like...
It's almost like the perfect plant. If we could figure out crops to adapt to things as readily as water hemp does, but there's such a tremendous genetic variation in that plant. It's what allows it to do it. People will ask, well, why are we changing water hemp, you know, with what we're doing? We're not changing it, but we're just selecting for those that might be in that window, that is portion of that population. So, it's an interesting weed. It's been one that I've been working with for my entire career of 30-some years, and it'll continue to be a challenge for growers because I don't see it going anywhere. But we're going to continue, like I said, to work on some new tools. We got some new stuff in our pipeline coming down in the next couple of years that are are new modes of action for growers to be able to use in corn and soybeans, to put a few new things in the toolbox to continue to help them, you know, increase their yields, improve their yields, improve their ROI, and make those farms sustainable for the next generation.
So to keep up to date, and when you guys make those announcements of those toolbox opportunities, where do they need to go?
Well, he said, we'll always put stuff on our website at ag.fmc.com. We'll continue to utilize sources like yourselves for radio and newsprint and extension and all the different sources. So we continue to understand that everybody gets their media and their news from the same place. But we'll continue to add to those things and keep everybody informed on what's coming from FMC.
Wonderful. So much. Gail Stratman joining us here. I'm Susan Littlefield.